Want to know what it's really like being inspected by the Spanish tax agency? You're in the right place. I've recently been inspected by Hacienda myself, and I've lived to tell the tale. So, humble public servant that I am, I thought it might be useful to tell the story here. Be prepared, though. Since the topic is taxes, this is not the most exciting story you'll ever hear. Far from it. If you want to skip this one, I don't blame you. You can check out my article on the blog called Sex, Booze, and Phrasal Verbs if you're interested in something about back when I was young and single and had little responsibility and a net worth in the low four figures. This one is going to be, unfortunately, about taxes. Hey everybody, it's Daniel. Welcome back to Spain to Go, the best podcast in the entire multiverse for all things Spain. This is episode 57, and it's about my recent tax inspection. So, without further ado, let's go. Up until recently, my relationship with Hacienda had been uneventful. I would collect receipts and issue invoices, and then send them off to my accountant, who would come back once a quarter with some large amount of estimated tax I owed. I'd grumble, but pay it. Then, in June, the accountant would hit me with an even larger bill. What was left over after I paid all that estimated tax was my IRPF, Impuesto sobre la Renta de Personas Físicas. As a persona física, a physical person, not a legal entity, I've always assumed that means, and a Spanish tax resident, I had no choice. I'd just pay more. Grumble, grumble, the money would fly out of my bank account, never to be seen again. You're a Spanish tax resident if you physically spend 183 or more days a year in Spain, whether or not you can claim residency elsewhere. Shakira, the singer, is currently finding this out the hard way. Hacienda is claiming that she didn't pay taxes on millions when she was claiming to live in a Caribbean tax haven. The Hacienda people tracked her, and she was in Barcelona most of that time. She was just trying to get away with some creative accounting. Anyway, that's Shakira, and my case is quite a bit different. Of course, I also file taxes in the U.S., because for some insane reason, the U.S. wants to stay on top of everybody, even those who live abroad. I mentioned that a bit recently in my article and podcast about renouncing U.S. citizenship. Anyway, thanks to taxesforexpats.com for making tax filing abroad a lot less painful. I can get you a discount for them if you get in touch with me. But like I said, over here in Spain, I have been filing estimated tax four times a year, regular income tax every June, VAT tax every 3 months, etc. And Hacienda was basically leaving me alone. If you can really say that taking a third of my income is really leaving me alone, but that's another story, I guess. Wait, did I mention I also pay Social Security every month? It's about 300 euros a month and will be going up very soon. Anyway, leaving me alone except for the 17 yearly tax payments. But then, earlier this year, tax inspection. People have been asking me about this online because I've mentioned it a little bit in previous articles, but I have never told the whole story because it's been a work in progress. Now it's finished, so here goes. Several months ago, my doorbell rang. Carta certificada, said the woman on the other end of the telefonillo. As someone who's constantly dealing with lots of taxes, immigration processes, and various bureaucracies, let me tell you, I spent a very long minute contemplating all of the terrible reasons why I could be getting a certified letter while the mail carrier brought it up to my door. The whole thing really got the blood moving that otherwise uneventful Tuesday morning. Finally, the elevator doors hissed open and the cartera handed me the letter. I signed and tore the thing open. It was a notification that I was being inspected by Hacienda. Well, I guess it had to happen sometime. I scanned the 7 pages on my phone and sent the document off to my accountant. Basically, according to my understanding, they had found some irregularities with my 2021 return, and they wanted to see my receipts. I later read that the law had recently changed, making it legal for Hacienda to inspect people's books without any real reason, so maybe that had something to do with it. Also, according to another website, Hacienda has a strategic plan to earn 8% more this year than last. A strategic plan that involves inspecting online businesses especially. The fact that any part of the Spanish bureaucracy is capable of making and sticking to a strategic plan comes as something of a surprise to me, and probably others as well. One does not interact with the Spanish government and come away with the impression that there is a lot of strategic planning going on. However, when it comes to screwing over small businesses, apparently they go all in. You can download a PDF of Hacienda's strategic plan online. It's 132 pages long, and I haven't read it. But back to the tax inspection. What follows is some back and forth with my accountant. He needs to see all my 2021 receipts, which is interesting because I already sent him all my receipts. The whole 2021 tax preparation business was, allegedly, already based on my receipts. Short caveat, my original accountant sold the firm to some larger company a year or so ago, so the new guy actually didn't do my 2021 taxes. Still, I figured they'd be around somewhere. I sent them to someone, and they were processed into my tax return at the time. Oh well, now he can't find them. So I send him back a bunch of information, and he sends it off, then tells me to wait for another letter from Hacienda. Anywhere between 2 weeks and several months, he tells me. I wait several months and finally hop onto the website. Gaining access to the Spanish tax agency's website is a half-day ordeal in itself, which I talk about in episode 49. That one is called Spanish Bureaucracy, a Red Tape Odyssey. So after a half day biking around town to government offices trying to get access to the website, I end up at home finding that there is another letter from Hacienda already waiting for me online. For some reason, it didn't come to my house. It was just available on the web for several weeks. This time, they say they want written justification for a long list of expenses. For example, do I really need to have an internet connection at home? Why, yes, I do, among other things, so that I can file my taxes. So I send the new document to my accountant, and he hems and haws. He can produce a list of justifications for my various expenses, but have I really been deducting occasional business lunches? Well, yeah, I have, because the other accountant told me to. Always on weekdays, never weekends or holidays, lunch and not dinner, and with payment justified with the credit card receipt, up to a limit of 26 euros per day. Yes, says the accountant, but did I really need to go out to lunch, or could I have just stayed at home and eaten a fried egg at my desk while continuing to type with my free hand? He didn't really say specifically that, but that was the basic idea. Again, I told him I was only deducting lunches because the previous accountant told me to. Now I also need an excuse to eat lunch. Yes, apparently I do. So I told the accountant that I needed to try all those restaurants for articles on the blog. go to expatmadrid.com while we're here. I've got articles about restaurants. The best international restaurants in Barcelona, for example. The top restaurants in Barceloneta neighborhood. The vacuous hipster horror show, which is Brunch and Cake. Is that sufficient justification? The accountant frowns. I can hear him over the email frowning. And he puts a link to the Chorizo Chronicles blog in his letter back to Hacienda, saying I do restaurant reviews, and he calls it a day. A few days later, I get a text message from Hacienda telling me to log back into the website. I read their new letter. They've accepted most of my expenses. They've accepted my business lunches in the service of reviewing restaurants for the blog, for example. What they haven't accepted is my internet bill. I find that to be a bit strange. They haven't accepted my mobile phone either. I use these for work all the time, but apparently not exclusively for work, so I'm only able to deduct a percentage. The other expenses they haven't accepted are, get this, the receipts that are printed in Catalan. Officially, the language used by Hacienda is Spanish, according to their letter, and if I want to deduct receipts printed in Catalan, I'll need to get a sworn translation. This is more than a bit ridiculous, and according to a lawyer friend, would never hold up in court. But having already spent plenty of money on tax preparation this year, I'm not about to sue the tax authorities over a couple of receipts. In any case, it's wildly hypocritical from a government that just spent a bunch of time and money broadcasting that they want to make Catalan an official language in the Spanish Parliament as well as the European Union. I accept the terms of the letter and get on the Hacienda website to pay the back taxes I owe. Technically, the accountant points out, they've accepted more than 90% of my expenses for 2021. It's just a few little things they're arguing about. A few days later, I get another text. Here's the sanción. The word sanction in English sounds pretty serious. But it's a long letter that says, after 5 pages of scolding, that I owe a fine of a few hundred more euros for my inadequate tax preparation. If I agree to this and then pay on time, the quantity will be significantly reduced, they tell me in their barely comprehensible bureaucratic Spanish. So, 133 euros. That's my fine for the alleged bad behavior of deducting my internet bill, buying a cheap mobile phone, and presenting some receipts in Catalan without having them translated. I still maintain that I was only doing what my original accountant told me to do, but like I said, he sold the company a year or so ago, and the people I'm dealing with now don't know anything about it. Oh well. All in all, this was a bit of an annoying and unnecessary situation, but no worse than anything else I've dealt with from the Spanish government. In the end, it was a few letters back and forth, some stress, and a new tax bill to pay. And I'm already more than used to those. Anyway, that's about all I've got for today. I'd like to congratulate Hacienda for having such a detailed strategic plan to screw me and other online businesses. I really wasn't expecting that. And so, without further ado, I shall now sign off and go do something that actually earns me some money. These bills ain't paying themselves. If you would like to donate to fine independent journalism like the content you find on my blog, expatmadrid.com, or this podcast, please go to expatmadrid.com/donate to send me some money. I promise I'll declare it on my tax statements and Hacienda will get their fair share as well. So far, I haven't actually run this past my accountant, but my understanding is that they tax donations. I'm not a registered charity, obviously. I'm a guy with an online business who pays a lot of taxes. In other news, the other day, the hour changed, it's daylight saving time. The EU said they were going to get rid of this barbaric tradition a few years ago. So far, they've done nothing about it. I'm happy that it's getting light at a better hour of the morning, but it's also getting dark really early, and that's a bit annoying. I don't know, I'd like them to choose one or the other and not have us changing the clocks twice a year, but that's just me. I hope you have a great day wherever you are in the world. Besides going to expatmadrid.com/donate and donating some money, there are lots of other ways you can support this podcast. You could leave a rating on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. You could check me out on Amazon. I've got some books that will teach your Spanish-speaking friends some English. If you are listening to this, you most likely do not need me to teach you English, but you might have friends who could benefit from some top-notch English instruction. Check out Daniel Welsh on Amazon. Also, I have a channel on YouTube where I'm teaching Spanish. It is called Learn Spanish with Daniel. Very simple, obvious explanation of the benefit you will receive. Learn Spanish with Daniel. I have quite a few videos, actually, about 40 videos, I think, on there, where I'm teaching different things. I'm not teaching the super, super basic things, but I'm teaching things that are a bit more advanced for people who already know a little bit. Other than that, have a wonderful day wherever you are in the world, and we will talk soon. Hasta la próxima. Bye.